Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it would be a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths this morning. Work in us by your spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm really sorry about that, kids. There is a handout on the website if you'd like to look at that, and if that helps you to follow the sermon. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 9, and we will be looking elsewhere during this sermon. Costly. I wonder what comes to mind when you hear that word, costly. Maybe you think of costly mistake. Well, ignore negative thoughts like that for now. So leave the costly mistake idea in the background. Let's go positive on this. Costly, something valuable, excellent, precious, rare, that sort of thing. Wonderful, costly. And that is a great description of the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is costly. It's valuable, excellent, precious, rare and wonderful. The good news is this: there is a God, and he made himself man in his son, Jesus, so that we could know him and make himself known. The rest of us humans are made by God. We're part of his creation, but left to our own devices, we're far from him because we go our way and not his. We think we can manage without him. We don't glorify him. We glorify ourselves. And what is God's verdict on this? Well, his verdict is you get what you want. We get eternity without God. But in his love, he has a rescue plan, which he has had since before the beginning of the world. And the rescue plan is that Jesus takes on himself what we deserve, the judgment we deserve, the eternal separation from God that we deserve. He takes it on himself on the cross and dies in our place. And he does that so that justice can be done and God can forgive us at the same time, which is amazing. And then after 3 days, he's alive again, risen from death, really dead, then really alive. And this demonstrates that the cross worked, that Jesus is God's son, that there is something beyond death, and it's through Jesus that we find it. And then he returned to heaven later on, 40 days later. He sent the Holy Spirit to us now, so that if we repent and believe, we can be forgiven and have new life and live with God with us. And this is the good news. What if we don't repent and believe, as he calls us to? Well, then the judgment that was facing us is still facing us. Jesus could have taken it away, and we wouldn't have to spend an eternity separated from God. But if we reject him or ignore him, that's what we're facing. What if we do repent and believe in Jesus? Well, then the cross is for us. And heaven is ours. New life today with the Holy Spirit with us. And one day, seeing Jesus for ourselves, face to face in his kingdom. What great news, eh? This is the good news of Jesus. And it's costly, isn't it? It's valuable. A treasure. It's wonderful. It's rare and superb. So in that sense, the gospel, the good news, is costly. Here's a verse from 2 Corinthians 8, 9. I read it at the beginning of the service. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, his death on the cross, might become rich, forgiven, and one day being in his kingdom with him. It's costly in the sense that it's wonderful and rare. It's costly in the sense that Jesus gave up his life for us so that we could have it. The good news is costly, but there's another way that the good news is costly, and it's this. It costs money for people to hear about Jesus and to grow in Jesus. The good news is free. Jesus did it all. We don't earn it. We can't pay for it. It's a gift from God. Hooray! Hallelujah! But at the same time, it's costly. We have to pay people in order that the good news can be heard by people. Today's sermon is a sermon about giving. And I'm sorry, I apologise. Maybe you're watching us and you're with us for the first time and you're thinking, hang on a minute, Christians always want your money. Well, please go and watch last Sunday's service and the one before and the one before. I haven't preached about giving for perhaps a year or so. So it's not true. We're not always after your money. It's a coincidence that this is the first time you've watched us and we're talking about money today. But we do need to hear about the why and the how of giving to support the costly ministry of sharing Jesus, even in lockdown. And perhaps particularly in lockdown, where many of us are worried about our jobs and our work. Perhaps you've lost your job and you're thinking, what about my giving? Well, what should I do about it? Let's think about that today. And let's use the Bible to help us. And what we do in giving is all based on what Jesus has done for us. If we're following Jesus, then we are, if you like, a disciple. Not just the people who are in the Bible are disciples. Today, we're disciples of Jesus. We're following him and his teaching. And part of our discipleship is that we, together as a body, pay for the ministry that helps us to hear of Jesus and grow in him. So, the why and the how of giving in a gospel way. Giving in a gospel way. So, first of all, why? Why would we give? And two reasons. First of all, why would we give? Well, we want gospel ministry to happen. We want Jesus to be made known to people. We want people to know Jesus, to grow in him and be discipled and to help have help with that. And God uses people in doing this. And God uses all sorts of people. They don't have to be full-time or paid. But it is very helpful to have some that are full-time and paid. And it is helpful to have some kind of building, or these days equipment, in order that we can join in with learning from God's word together. This passage in 1 Corinthians 9 is about Paul and giving. It's about the people who do the job of making Jesus known and helping Christians to grow. And he says that these people should be given money and food so that they can live. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 4. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Now, we're going to look more closely at this passage next week. But what's going on is this, that Corinthians are grumbling about Paul needing money. Verse 7, Paul says it's obvious that Christian preachers need money, who serves as a soldier at his own expense. And verse 8 and 9, he says it's biblical. Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? So it's obvious and biblical. And his conclusion is this in verse 11. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? In other words, doesn't it make sense that we should get food and lodging from you because we've been helping you with the gospel of Jesus? Now, Paul is going to say in the very next words, he doesn't make use of that right. And from what we know of Paul, he worked as a tent maker and he also received support from other churches while he was out sharing the good news of Jesus. And we'll find out why next week as we go back and look at this passage and the whole of the chapter in a bit more detail. But for now, the point he makes is this. Gospel workers are supported by those they help. God uses people, and it's great to have full-time people, and they need support. We want gospel ministry to happen. Don't we? Don't we? Or do we? I don't know. Do we want good Bible teaching? The gospel explained? Things organised so they happen? Yes, we do, don't we? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have this help to know Jesus and to grow in him and to be able to be equipped to go in him? Those are our aims as a church, St. Lawrence Church, Morden. Isn't it great for Jesus to be built up amongst us, as it were, as built up in him? Someone might say, well, doesn't the government pay for the Church of England? And don't the Church of England have stacks of stocks and shares and property to pay for it all anyway? And the answer is no and no. So the government doesn't pay for the Church of England. We do get some government support as a charity. So we get gift aid and sometimes we get grants towards things like the roof on the church or things like that. But by and large, no, we're not paid for by the government. And the Diocese of Southwark, which we're in, does have some reserves and some property. But it's by no means enough to pay for everything that goes on in the diocese. It's a very small amount compared with the cost of ministry in the diocese. Our annual budget as a church is about, this is St Lawrence Church, Morden, it's about £95,000. Around about half of that goes on the cost of having a vicar, me. And the other half is spent on all sorts of things, administration, buildings and that kind of thing. And that comes through people's generous giving, which we're very grateful for. Most of that comes through that. And the only mention I'm going to make today of our church's need for money and where you can find out about that is now And it's this. Go to, I haven't even got it on the screen, stlm.stlm.uk/giving. And on that page, you'll be able to download information and you can make a gift and all sorts of other things. But that's the only mention I'll make of it today in this sermon. stlm.uk/giving. So why would we give? Number one, we want gospel ministry to happen. Number two, we have received from God. We've received from God. And so it's right to give back to him. Well, how have we received from God, you say? Well, in two ways. The first way we receive from God is general blessings. General blessings. God is the creator and sustainer of the whole world and universe. Everything is from him. And what we own is actually just on loan from him. And he calls on us to do what is right with what we have. There's a great passage in the Old Testament where King David is getting together gifts to build the temple. God has been worshipped in a tabernacle, a tent, and he's going to build a temple. In fact, Solomon, his son, is going to build a temple. And he's overwhelmed with the generosity of the people. And he says this, 1 Chronicles 29, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendour. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours." He goes on, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." Well, isn't it great that we now do have a hope? We are not without hope because we have hope in Jesus. But it's true, isn't it? Everything we own comes from the Lord. So as we have received from God, so we give back to him. General blessings. But there's also another way we received, and that is the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. Now, the word gospel means, it's a Greek word for good news. And so it describes that message I was talking about earlier, that costly, wonderful message. It also talks about four books in the Bible because they tell us how Jesus proclaimed the gospel. So we've got four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we've got the gospel, the message of good news about Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about, the message of good news about Jesus, that rescue mission. Do you trust in Jesus? Do you know through him that wonderful forgiveness, that the Holy Spirit in your life, even if you can't feel him, he's promised that he's there, helping you, changing you. You have been rescued. You are lost and you are found. Here's what Paul says in Colossians. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is all a gift. This is all a gift we've received from God. It's grace. I've said this before. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's wonderful, isn't it? This is the second way that we received from God. So in gratitude and thanksgiving to God for his general blessings, for the wonderful good news of Jesus and all he's done for us, we give to gospel ministry. And St. Lawrence has received some very generous bequests recently. So the work you saw on the east window and the lovely redecoration and refurbishment of our church centre, all of that has happened because one lady, out of her love for Jesus, gave money in her will for St. Lawrence. And more recently, we've had two smaller gifts that mean that we know with the East Window we're safe with money, God willing. And also we may even from them have money to put towards other things like maybe extra ministry at the church because of people's response to the gospel. And maybe you have responded in your generous giving to the church. It's a wonderful thing, out of gratitude and thanksgiving, to give because we have received. So why would we give? We want gospel ministry to happen. And we have to pay for workers. And we have received from God and want to give back to him. So if we're giving in a gospel way like this, because of God's generosity and goodness to us, because we want the gospel out, how can we give? How can we give? There's lots of help about this in the Bible. And also keep in mind, give in a gospel way. The gospel is behind this. So first of all, according to our means. I just should just say that I'm talking about money, but this does apply to time and skills as well. So how can we give? According to our means. The gospel is for all people. It's not just for one group or one people in a particular place or something like that. It's for everybody. And that includes people who have got lots of money and people who've got little money. Maybe you've only got a little. Give a little. Maybe you've got loads. Give loads. It's as simple as that. Here's Paul writing to the Corinthians in the second letter. If the willingness is there, he says, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And Jesus famously saw a widow giving just a little. He sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. This is Mark 12, 41. And watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more to the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything. All she had to live on. Now, maybe COVID-19 and all that's happened about it has changed your means. Then you need to think carefully again about what you can give. Perhaps you need to give less. We give according to our means. And alongside that, we give secretly. And Jesus mentions this in Matthew 6, verse 4, if you want to look it up. So our giving is not a matter of boasting or embarrassment. Or any comparison at all, actually. We shouldn't know what others are giving. I don't know what you in the church give. I just have the bottom line on the church finance figures. I don't know who gives what. That's why in church we don't have a collection bag. Why we stick a box at the back so you can be more secretive about it. And we put no pressure on visitors to give to St. Lawrence. It's to be secret. And loving, willing, generous and sacrificial. We're to give lovingly, willingly, generously and sacrificially. Just think for a moment, what was Jesus like with us in his death on the cross? He was loving. He was willing. He was generous. Sacrificial. All of these things. That's how he gave. And so we return that in our response to him. But I don't feel those things, says somebody, so I don't have to give. That's not the plan, is it? God's plan in showing us these things through his word is to encourage us to have those attitudes with the help of the Spirit. And this is picked up particularly by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians again. He wanted to collect money from Christians in Macedonia and Greece to take it to Judea, where there was a famine, and he wanted to help Christians there. And so he asked the Macedonian Christians in Thessalonica and Philippi, small churches, new churches, churches under persecution, he asked them for money. He describes their reaction in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 4. And now, brothers and sisters, he tells the Christians in Corinth, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overwhelming joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify, they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. A loving, willing, generous, sacrificial. And with this in mind, it kind of changes what according to your means looks like, doesn't it? Maybe you are in control of your money, because some people aren't, and they can't just make a decision. And that's okay, isn't it? It's according to our means. Maybe you are in control of your money, though, and you realise that you don't need as much. Lockdown has shown you that actually there's a load of stuff that actually isn't necessary. Some will say, oh, but I'm saving for a dream holiday. Brothers and sisters, do we not have in the Lord Jesus more than any dream holiday? And can we not, by supporting gospel ministry, help others to have so much more than the dream holiday in rescue and life instead of death with our Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel? So according to our means, secretly, lovingly, willingly, generously, sacrificially, and plannedly. I don't think that's a word, but I couldn't. Strategically doesn't quite pick it up. Planned, in a planned way. God has planned the rescue we have in Jesus. God is a planning God. He looks ahead and plans things. And so we plan our giving. And Paul, later on in 1 Corinthians, when we eventually get to it, asks the Corinthians to plan their giving. On the first day of every week, he said, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. plan ahead. So our giving is we pray about it. We say, Lord, help me to work out what I should give. We think about it. We look at what we've got in, if we've got anything. Have we got anything left at the end of the week? Have we fed the kids? We look at what we've got. And we bring what we can to our wonderful Saviour in our giving. It's planned. The good news of our Lord Jesus is costly. It's costly in that it is wonderful. Maybe you're a visitor here today and you've got to this stage without giving up, because I'm talking about giving. And maybe you've seen, have you seen how much Jesus has done for you? That though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. So that you, through his poverty, his death on the cross, his becoming a human and dying for you, you, through his poverty, might become rich, forgiven, new life, God with you, eternity in his kingdom. Have you not seen that it's valuable, excellent, precious, rare, wonderful, the gospel? Well, do, if you can, come on our Christianity Explore course and get in touch so we can sign you up for that. Maybe you're a believer and you haven't been giving much. Perhaps you can't. And already you are giving according to your means, lovingly, willingly, generously, and so on. Great, isn't that wonderful? Thank you. And praise the Lord for what you've been able to give, like that woman giving to the temple. In God's eyes, it may be far more than all the rich people are giving. But maybe you could. You've not been giving much, and you could. Well, think it over. Think over the why of giving, because we want gospel ministry. Because God has given so much to us. Think over the how and how you can you put those things into practice. Perhaps you can't remember what I've said. Watch the video again or go to our website. Download the handout. It's all on there. You can fill in the gaps. Maybe as I've been talking, you think, well, I have been giving and I've been doing it as much as I can according to what the Bible has said in this gospel way. Well, isn't that wonderful? Thank you. Praise God for him working in your heart like that. Isn't the gospel a wonderful thing and so worth responding to? Please think about your giving. Maybe coronavirus has hit your income. Do not be embarrassed before the Lord to reduce what you give if you have to. He wants you to be fed. He wants your children to eat and have clothes. And please continue to give in a gospel way, thinking and praying carefully and responding with joy to all that Jesus has done for you. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we praise you that you have made it so that the good news of Jesus goes out through people and that you've equipped some to do that full time. We pray for your help to be able to give to support that work and to do that in a gospel way. Please work in our hearts and our different situations and the changes that we've seen recently and all that's going on. Help us to know how and what to give. In Jesus' name. Amen.